Welcome to our podcast of Things That Make You Think. For every thought learned can become action, and that brings about change in character and the world. Our thoughts shape our circumstances in our life and the world around us. So let us not be selfish. And now, your host, Pablo Castellano. Good day, everybody. Welcome to our podcast today. So today's show is going to be over politics today, since that's the major topic of the day. And if you do enjoy the podcast, remember to give it 5 stars on your favorite social media platforms where you can get the free podcast. You can post your likes on Apple, Spotify, Google, Pod, anywhere else that you get your podcast, or even on YouTube. So today, what I thought we would go over, since it's politics is the hot ticket for today, and we also have just officially got the Democratic nominations through the Democratic convention for vice president and for president. And so instead of going just to that topic, I do want to go over the biggest topic also, which is basically in the media, it's been about voting fraud and issues surrounding voting and funding and so forth and so on. So if you haven't watched the movie Irresistible, recommend that you watch it. It's a very good political comedy about basically just getting a candidate elected and the process and all the things that go about doing it. And those individuals that are basically, that's their job to make sure that the candidate gets elected. They have, that's their business and their job. And they do it pretty well. And it's always a competition between parties, as well as between even those that are not even considered to be part of the party if you're an independent candidate. So in Irresistible, though, at the end of the movie, there's a part where Trevor Potter, former person who was in charge of, you know, going over the elections and funding, you know, what you can and can't do as far as PACs and funding candidates and so forth and so on. So what I thought that would be interesting is if you could get a chance to watch that. It's very interesting because he's basically talking about, could the circumstances in that movie actually occur? Okay. This was a former person, committee man, person of the chair, but he's pretty much been doing it long enough. And basically he goes into saying that, in the movie, it can actually happen. So if you do see the movie, I think you'll get a kick at the end when you see the conversation that they have. So he's basically saying that legally it could act. It's former chairman of the Federal Elections Commission, and he was a president of the Campaign Legal Center also. And PACs can raise basically unlimited amount of money and then choose to give it to another organization for public purposes, and you don't necessarily need donors' consent. So the biggest problem he was mentioning is that the pieces don't always work together, and if they can't have a quorum, they can't actually have any reform. So you can't really rewrite the laws. And to think that nothing's corrupt is kind of not a thing that I think most people would understand, as far as corruption exists. We all know it. We've seen it in the past, you know, and there's some people who just don't seem to want to follow the rules, or they'll use the rules to manipulate the system as well. And we've seen that being done too in many, many aspects of the political system and in just general life for other people in general. So I would like you to consider that part of the movie, and then consider the other topic that they've been talking about today, which a lot of it's been on the mailing of the ballots and the media's has given its agenda, that is basically, if you look at most of the most of them, you'll see that it's not, it's not fraud. They assume that there is no fraud there. So, not being a official member of the media, obviously, I think that they're doing injustice to the general public by not reporting it as accurately as possible. To me, they are areas, they are telling you the truth when they say that there is no fraud, because there's probably some states where they probably try to limit the amount of that fraud, and there may be even no fraud in some states. So, are they telling you the truth? I like to use the old Obi-Wan Kenobi antidote, you know. It's basically, if you've ever seen the end of the movie, if you've ever seen the movie The Return of the Jedi, when he says, the truth is just a matter of perception. So I think that that's what the media is doing now. It's just a matter of their perception of what they see as the truth in their own eyes. So technically, it's not really a lie or false, according to them, I would assume. So that's what they must be living by today. When they do some of the reporting that they do in what seems to be the political race, is that we have all the time for local, national, and obviously presidential, which is the one where everybody shows up at that point. Because a lot of them do not show up. Voters don't generally show up too much for the local elections. And some of the, even the senatorial or congressional seats. So looking at some of the information that I saw on the voting, I mean, there has been some fraud that has occurred. And there have been many areas of fraud well documented. Through the New York Times has said stuff in the past. Florida Palm Beach Post has had an article, and there was a congressional report on it, committee meetings and stuff, addressing voter fraud and mail fraud or absentee ballots or a combination of the two. The statistics are pretty interesting, but I'd let you do your own research on that, because if I give you statistics, most people will say that's not true, or they don't believe it can't be true. So it's better if you do your own research. But one thing I do think you should do, though, is take a look at it and make sure that that you want to know the truth and not know somebody else's agenda and take it as the truth. So the one thing I would also look at is, which I've mentioned in the past on prior podcasts, is that you know, when we're looking at laws and things that truly matter, okay, character is one of them. And basically, when you look at one definition of character, it basically says that character is a mental and normal qualities distinctive to an individual, group, or community, is one of the definitions. So that also falls into what I've titled the show, Things That Make You Think. Because I've always said that at the beginning of the show, when you hear the introduction, it basically says that our thoughts shape our circumstances in our life and the world around us. So let us not be selfish. So the other thing I've also mentioned on the podcast is also that the actual authority to implement laws is what we have to look at. Is it within the jurisdiction of the lawmaker or my jurisdiction? And will it protect property as well as earnings for all individuals, or just individual rights? Because you never want to infringe on individual rights all of the time. And especially if you have a country, which is the United States, that was founded as a republic. We are not a democracy. Many people think that simply because we go to the ballots and we vote that we're a democracy. Well, that was the purpose of the Electoral College, because you don't want to have mob rule. You want to have rule that is balanced and fair. So if you take a population and you put them all in one place for that one state, and you have 2 million, 3 million in a city, whatever number, doesn't really matter. But then you have the rural areas that only have maybe, when you combine all rural area in the state, it could be maybe another million. So you have a concentrated population in one area that's going to dictate to the entire state for the Electoral College, then the rural areas will have no vote. They will be left out. Their vote won't count because you've eliminated a balance feature in the Constitution of the United States. So that's something we need to really truly look at. One of the other things that I was going through when looking at the voting fraud and some other information is, as I said, character is one of the things we have to look at, not only for, when it comes to our candidates, but even the character of who humanity has started out as, where we've gone to, and where we're going to be going. Because all these things will shape the character every generation, every single time. Because we know that during the Great Depression, if we had strong, there were strong people with strong characters, and they would do what they had to do just to make ends meet. But it didn't mean that they would go out and break laws or simply hurt people, steal, or do anything. They would actually, it was neighbor working with neighbor, you know, and then it was character. It built character, it built a generation that when World War II came, they were stronger and more committed to be able to implement the actions they needed for that war. And so our environment can influence our character, but it's also your thought process. So when we're looking at voting, do we really have to look at the characteristics of who humanity has been in the past when it comes to voting? We know that each party has its agenda. Each party candidate can never be 100% of one person's idea of the perfect candidate. It's impossible. A candidate can say what you may need to hear. He may think what you need to hear. But bottom line is, you still got to look at what his true character is, and if he's truly honoring what it means to be the politicians of the people and a public servant, or is he just trying to get to that position, maintain power at all costs once he gets into the position, and who's allowing him to do this? So there's always an agenda in a lot of this. So a lot of the Constitution has been moved from where it should be to where others of power want it to be. So we as the people have the option of getting that corrected. We always say that, or many of people will say, well, you can go ahead and just vote them out. It sounds pretty easy, but sometimes it simply isn't. Because, like I said, you have agendas, fraud, and you never know what the politician is going to do once elected and if they'll keep their word. Or will they just find out that, the swamp is so entrenched that you'll never make Disney, because Disney was created from a swampland. So I would want to have something more like Disney instead of the swamp. So that's what I would want to have. Start fixing that muddy hole and mess, and let's create a better form of government that understands the people without changing any part of the Constitution anymore. and maybe even going back to some of the things that worked at the time. Because the government and voting is all people. No politician can win if he doesn't have the votes. And a country can't survive if the people that are voting are not holding individuals accountable for the actions that they do, or they fail to live up to. I like the old history teacher who's passed, but I did like him when I was in school, Mr. Rome. He always had a great way of teaching history, and he made it fun. And history can be fun. You just got to find the part of history that really appeals to you. All right? And if it doesn't, take time to just learn a little bit at a time, even if it's just your own history as your own family. Know where you came from, the struggles your family may have had, both present and past. Family is essential, even in the voting process, because your family environment sometimes will shape your character to how you will vote in the future. So, like I said, character is also essential to the voting process, because it's what you've been taught through environment, your teachers, what you decided to learn on your own, your creativity, and your desires. For some, you know, characters develop through many ways. I believe that character is part of a learning process. You'll continually learn and change, and aspects of your character will either be influenced more to where you'll move into those different places where you need to be because of your character. But we should never sacrifice the principles that we have in the process of who we are through our character. The other thing that I was going through is when I was looking through the stuff about the voting and the fraud there, is I found out that the House bill that they're planning to pass, which is the HEROES Act, has some interesting legislation in there, which removes the power of the right for the state to run the election in the state. It's moving it from the state to the centralized government or the federal government. I would advise the citizens of the United States to remember what I have said in the past. Do they actually have the authority to implement the law? Congress does not have the implementation of law for the state, because that's not within their jurisdiction. Because the 10th Amendment is what's supposed to keep them from implementing that law. And it definitely will not protect the voting accuracy. And it definitely is not going to protect your property or your earnings, because if they can do that, then what else are they going to tell the states and the people in those states to do later? So, and it's not about if we want to limit the government. It's just basically we should have some limits to the government. But we've allowed it to increase and move forward into becoming a behemoth more than it should be. Hopefully the voting populace, or as I like to call them, the true sleeping giants, will finally see what's going on, realize what needs to be changed, and vote in a way that meets their character. I'm not going to change anybody's character through the podcast or through statistics, or any means that I can use my voice, my talents, my skills to make any change in any of that. That's basically not going to happen. So I would just suggest that you truly look at all aspects of candidates, regardless if it's local elections, presidential elections, school boards, superintendents, local PTAs, wherever, you know, there's an election for positions of small, what might seem as small little bits of power, but some of those things can cause a great influence on other aspects of the political system. So as far as the voting fraud and the media, that's fine. Listen to what they have to say, but do your own homework. They've reported in the past that there is fraud, and now they're saying it wouldn't be that bad. So that's, to me, is like flip-flopping. It's like a candidate who says, I'm going to do this, and then to please somebody else, he flip-flops and says, I'm going to do this to make two people happy, but it sounds like he's flip-flopping. So where's the truth? You know, what is he really going to do? You're not going to know. So, and he may be truthful on both aspects because he might try to do both, or he might try to do a medium area where he can kind of do both. But he may not be able to do the full extent of what he said to either group. So that's going to end my short segment here on voting. I have some additional things I want to cover. I'll have a brief announcement. Let's take a break here, and then we'll go on to the next part of the podcast. So, if you haven't heard about non-member of Congress, I want to go ahead and briefly explain that to you, okay? If you live in the United States and you believe that you matter and you count, loving the idea of life and justice matter for all, you may have thought of the idea of nominating the first non-member of Congress as the Speaker of the House in the United States in Washington, D.C. If you haven't considered it, you may want to truly have a non-politician who can arbitrate on behalf of the people, not on behalf of parties, lobbyists for the rich, or any party ideology, and one who can promote only the freedom set forth in our founding documents of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That is what we created when we founded this republic. That everybody should have an equal voice and a deserving voice. So I ask you to join and support the new idea of thought. And you can put my name, Pablo Castellano, as one of the nominees to debate others wanting to be Speaker of the House in Congress as non-members. We need an arbitrator for the people to help unite the House and get things moving and have proper civil discord, and we'll be discarding as much selfishness as possible and restoring the people's house to the people. America together can put the new thought into reality simply by acting as one again, as e pluribus unum, out of many one, acting together to show we matter and our voice counts. If you want to show your support for this idea, you can go ahead and send me an email for what you can do for a call to action at chooseyourspeakerindc@gmail.com. Again, that's chooseyourspeakerindc@gmail.com. So I know that's an interesting idea of Speaker of the House, non-member of Congress, but consider this. Regardless of who wins the presidency this time, if you still have a House that cannot have civil discourse and come together and even cooperate with the Senate regardless if it's another Senate, which is Republican on one side and the House controlled on Democrats, or vice versa, or whatever was to happen, then if your representatives, your elected representatives, are not willing to come together and talk, well, if they're stuck on their party ideology, party platforms, and an idea of I need to maintain my power, I need to represent my constituents, those are the perfect people to have in Congress, but not as your Speaker of the House. Your Speaker should be the person who is running the House of Representatives in a fashion that will create civil discourse, take care of the issues at hand, and set the agenda, and not be a person who is going to be a politician elected by any state, because they have to represent that state even as the Speaker of the House. So how are they going to truly be fair? And they're not going to listen if it's going to be, well, it's my party's way or no way, or it has to be this way, or we're going to do this and only this, or we'll take up this bill today and we won't take it up tomorrow, and they never vote on stuff, and they delay. You know, I'm sure that there's many people right now who are looking at why haven't we had a stimulus check? Why can't they settle the little topics of disagreement? Why, you know, you also have to look at, well, they're responsible for being stewards of the financial aspect of the country. If we keep continuing going into large amounts of debt that are not going to produce anything in the future that's going to benefit the citizens and the nation, eventually we're going to have a country that has worthless currency and will be almost as bad as a third world country that when you go to buy a loaf of bread, it's going to cost you $30. So how's that going to help anybody? So consider the idea of a true non-member of Congress to be an arbitrator. We set up a contract with them. Whoever you want to nominate, me, I'll gladly send you a contract saying this is what I plan on wanting to do for the people, and it's easy to get rid of me because I'm voted in by the House, and you have to get to every single House member to vote for your candidate, which if they're your representatives, you should be able to tell them, well, I've elected you to do your job, but I want this person as House Speaker. That's basically how, and they're still your representative. You're not changing anything. If you want to have all Democrat, it can be all Democrat. You want to have all Republican, be all Republican. You want to have a mixture of the two, it can be. But the Speaker of the House should be an arbitrator, one who can balance that out so that there's no issues when it comes to getting things done in the House, setting the agenda, moving things forward, talking to the Senate, because if nobody wants to talk to the Senate because they're all let them do all the party agenda stuff on their own, have their own press conferences. The Speaker should be representing the people of the entire House, not just the party platform. So that's my little spill right there. I'll go on to our next segment right after a brief announcement. So welcome back to Things That Make You Think. What I wanted to go over now is the Democratic Committee Convention today was pretty interesting. Yesterday's was also pretty interesting. Big key speakers, Barack Obama, former President Barack Obama. We had prior to that, Michelle Obama. We've had Kamala Harris. And we had some other interesting speakers. And basically, a lot of the information that they're giving me through the convention was interesting. It's giving me a lot of where they're wanting the nation to head. And it also is interesting of how they seem to quote a lot on Donald Trump and his character. And I was kind of intrigued to hear what they said many times. And you can go back and listen to them, obviously. But a lot of it was basically one of the things that I caught as a main topic was what Mr. President Obama said, former President Obama said, is that he didn't expect him to go forward with any of the policies that he had implemented, obviously, but that he should be able to, would have been able to hopefully unite and do other things and not basically used his office to enrich himself. And I thought that was kind of interesting, because every person that has been in politics who did not have riches, like President Trump, who came in and had large amounts of money already and running a pretty much different types of businesses, and some of them successful, doing well. Can't speak to how they're doing now with the virus and COVID-19, obviously. He may have to adjust. But overall, they were basically saying that he shouldn't use his office to enrich himself. And I find it kind of interesting that they're saying it's all based on the character of the individuals. So when I look at character, I would think, since it's about a mental and moral qualities that are distinctive to an individual, it's kind of a little bit hypocritical to say one person's enriching himself while in office or using his political position to do so, while we look at how persons who have been in political office seem to have enriched themselves over the years by some means or some interesting form of just being in office. They seem to start out with not having much and then having several thousands or even millions of dollars later. And we're not saying that they're raising this and keeping campaign funds, because that's not true. They're not. But they are enriching themselves. Many of them do it different ways. Some of them might write a book because now they can sell a book because they're in public office. Some of them might want to do speeches and get paid. Some of them might start other businesses outside using their connections with those times when they were fundraising, because when you're fundraising, you do kind of meet individuals that may have large sums of money that may want to back ideas that you may want to have, or all sorts of different aspects of business investments may come along that you can use while you're in office or out of office. So, and obviously you want to make, they do make sure they're legal, because obviously they don't want to do anything that would be illegal, because that would not look good, and obviously don't want to be like Nixon, doing something illegal and be impeached. Or not really be impeached, but be in the impeachment process and then have to resign because you know it didn't look good. Most likely you would have, if it would have gone to trial, you probably would have lost. So I think it's kind of interesting that they would choose to use character and mention that one president's enriching themselves through a lot of the speeches for the past few days in the convention. And if it's not that he's enriching himself, it's other stuff, which is fine. Because I know it's all agenda-driven politics. And they want to make sure their candidates look really good and are prepared for the debates and are prepared to let the people know where they stand and what they don't stand for and how they're going to be a shining light on the hill for this nation, because they will be representing this nation in many aspects. Foreign affairs, especially, maybe influencing the agenda of Congress through their own writing of what they'd like to propose as legislation for a budget, which, for some reason, it's kind of interesting that we haven't really had a budget passed. We've had continuing resolution after continuing resolution after continuing resolutions, government shutdowns. And to me, that would be one of the reasons why we need to hold our elected officials in some form or of check. And I think as the general public just needs to be a little bit more active in politics. And I'm not saying we need to march, riot, or do any of the things. Mainly, I think what we need to do is just let our voices be heard. And I know that many of the labor unions are extremely adamant on making their voices heard. And the unions are an important aspect of employment for some areas, because the history of the unions, I'm sure many of you know, it was a struggle. They wanted to make sure that there were fair wages. They wanted to make sure that the employees were taken care of. And in many aspects, that has gone really well for many of the unions, and they've gotten many great benefits for government employees, labor employees, those who are working in the auto industry, those working in painting, because there's unions for the painters, those working in masonry, and many areas they have unions. Sometimes they'll even have, they have the local government unions, the teachers union, all extremely influential in politics. So they play an important part. So we have to look, we also have to look at the other thing. If they're going to play such a large role in politics, those individuals who are not in unions need to also show their voice and do community activations and say, well, where do you want the country to go? If you're afraid to be active through either donating wherever you feel you need to donate to show your voice, some of them can be even your nonprofit organizations that are voices in politics. You know, I'm assuming, I'm pretty sure the American Red Cross has a lobbying unit, okay, that makes sure that they can maintain who they are, their integrity, and the things that they do nationwide. I know that many businesses definitely have lobbyists. You know, I'm pretty sure that, you know, electric companies have lobbyists because they're always wanting to make sure the energy sector is not hindered, or that they can have certain agendas that they need done, passed or not passed. Just like you also have, individuals that have influenced because of their expertise in assisting congressional members write many of these laws. So when they write the laws, you got to remember, they are going to write the laws that will benefit their expertise for who they're working as the experts. So we have to look at that too. So everything is agenda driven. And that's why I'm saying that character is essential, and character influences your actions, and your thoughts influence your character. So I think there's a lot of things that can influence character. So, because if we can't come together as a community and as a nation, we're going to have anarchism, which is totally opposition to government, because it's it basically, anarchism can mean opposition to government based upon force. So I really don't think that's living up to a constitutional standard if it's going to be somebody's going to force me to do things, because they have a majority in the community or in politics, because it seems like the political platforms are not always driven in a way that always will benefit the nation and its community as a whole. So, and there's lots of pressures that come out of public opinion. When crisis occurs, we've seen that in the past because of shootings in school. And that's a topic that they mentioned in the convention, is a lot about safety. But I think that we also have to remember that fear is a very motivating factor too in politics. And sometimes I think that they use fear more than they use a lot of other things in politics, because fear motivates the voter, and sometimes it can even cause the voter not to show up. Or it's something like that will make the voter think, well, my vote doesn't count. But every vote does count. So the character that we truly have to recognize in ourselves is, am I the person that will think that my vote doesn't count simply because it's not important? But every vote's important, just like every action in our lives that we take daily is important, because it affects something in the world or in the environment every day. And I do remember a song that I think is very interesting. And it's a song that I believe it's a Christian song. I don't believe it's on any pop charts. And it's Fear is a Liar. And I think that that song does have some basis. Because it can be. Fear can sometimes cause it to us to do things that are not really needing to be done. And there are also many other things that can influence our policies and voting. And the person who sings Fear is a Liar is Zach Williams. And let me just give you a quick sample.
When he told you you're not good, told you you're not right, when he told you you're not strong enough to put up a good fight, when he told you you're not worthy, when he told you you're not loved, when he told you you're not beautiful, you'll never be enough. Fire, 'cause fear, he is the
And I do think that that is a very good song. And an inspirational song. Because I could think many times when I've been scared. I'm sure everybody else has had some form of fear in their life. And now that everything's agenda-driven in the world, they're just using fear, using whatever they have to bring to light things that may have already been there, but now they're just more able to be seen. And we see a lot of it on social media. We see a lot of it on local news, national news, international news. I mean, you don't get ratings if you can't attract individuals to watch your show. You can't get ratings if you don't have the proper interviews with the right people. So we can continue looking at it as, where do we want our character to go? Do we want it to be based on our fears also, or do we want to conquer those fears? Do we want to get the knowledge we need so that we don't have to fear? Do our own research. Trust is going to be one of those things that's going to be harder and harder for individuals to obtain, and that's understandable. We still have to look at role models in the world too, our heroes. We've been let down by many heroes. And we've seen unlikely heroes in the news and in the media. Bill Cosby was an individual who was adored by fans for many years. And then, obviously, the trial tainted his character and his reputation. And it caused it to... all his stuff that he did in the past that may have been good to have almost meant nothing. So we have to look at, well, character does matter. Because it, for what was brought out, showed that something had to have influenced his life, regardless of how, what, where, or when, because we're never really going to know that. It affected his thought process to thinking and his moral process that what he was doing at the time to the individuals that were taken advantage of, assaulted, was wrong. Yeah, but that's why character matters. So when we're looking at everything involved of our heroes, they can let us down. Some heroes hopefully never let us down. I personally like J.J. Watt. He has done outstanding community activities in Texas and for the Houston area. And he's done great charity work. I've not heard anything ever that I can ever know the media ever reporting or anything ever being reported that he has done anything that would cause his character to be one where they would no longer love him, respect him, and lose his standing in the community. Yeah. From all the things that I've seen from interviews, the way he's treated his family, the way his family treated him when they were raising him, his mom, he has an outstanding character, and he is beloved in the community of Houston. And there's also many other outstanding individuals in other communities in other states that are doing so much, especially the sports athletes do a lot for the community. The basketball players, football players, hockey players, you know, they're always doing something in the community. Some of them get elevated to a hero status and are extremely beloved. And some of them may not get that elevated status, but they still work in the community and their character is impeccable. They're always going to be those that will have their issues with character and the way they do things and their qualities of life because of the way they were thought processes and their moral qualities may not have been perfected because of not perfecting their thought process more and more every day. Life is not about just simply waking up, knowing it all, or think you know it all. It's a learning process every day. Everybody has to learn every day. And one of the things I want to discuss after this is that I've talked to my children about is that entertainment is fun, but what did you learn from it? Take something out of everything you're doing that's entertaining. It doesn't matter if it's sports, the movie that you've watched, the TV show, or whatever. So I'm going to come back to that topic. I want to go ahead and have another announcement really quick for the. And what I want to just discuss here is if you haven't heard about SimpliSafe, it's a good security system. It's pretty cheap to obtain. No main big contracts, and you're able to secure your household. And we know that security in our household nowadays is going to be one of those big things. So if you're looking for a security system that you can put in your apartments, because I know a lot of people rent apartments, and you can put these in yourself and then take them out. And they have different types of monitoring systems, and basically you can get your house monitored for about $15 a day. If something happens, you can't pay it that next month, you can disconnect. No contracts. You come back, start it up again. They have camera systems, so you can use cameras to monitor your apartment complex or even your home. And you get to pick what you need, and you can add on and a little at a time. Okay. And they have different packages. So I would go to simplisafe.com to check them out and secure your household, because security is important to us and our families and friends. And I'll be right back for our next segment. Welcome back to Things That Make You Think. And I was looking at some interesting articles and found one that was done, an article by Forbes magazine. And it says, you must not do your own research when it comes to science. And reading the article, it's pretty interesting. But I would have to disagree that you should not do your own research. Because as I've stated in my podcast in the past and today, there's always an agenda for a lot of stuff. And so we have to look at when anybody writes anything, and what aspect of character are they writing it in? Because like I said, it's character still a mental and moral quality distinctive to an individual, group, community, or nation. So when we look at the Forbes article, and it was written and published by Ethan Siegel, senior contributor, and it involves basically editor's pick, and it was done July 30th of 2020. So it's not an extremely old article, but it is interesting. And when you read the article, it's basically going into a lot of it's discussing the value of actual expertise, that legitimate expertise, and have spent lifetimes developing things, doing your own research, could lead to immeasurable, unnecessary suffering. So I don't agree that you'll suffer from doing your own research. And in the article here, it says here, there's an old saying I've grown quite fond of recently. You can't reason with somebody out of a position they didn't reason themselves into. When most of us research an issue, what we are actually doing is formulating an initial opinion the first time we hear about something, evaluating everything we encounter after that thought that lends our gut instinct, finding reason to think positively about the portion of the narrative that supports or justifies the opinion, initial opinion, and finding reason to discount or otherwise dismiss portions that detract from it. So that's in the actual article. And it also goes on to discuss fluoride water and drinking water, which is kind of interesting there too. And it says that goes into the drinking water, goes into climate change. It goes into SARS, COVID-2. And when you read the entire article, I mean, it's a very interesting article. I think the article is trying to get individuals in a mental state that will influence their character of what they will do when it comes to if a vaccination comes out for COVID-19. And the biggest issue that I'm thinking of is that the article is kind of trying to insinuate, and this is opinion, you can read the article and get your own stance on it or your own opinion. What the article is trying to insinuate is that I think they're worried about the individuals that don't want to take the vaccine, which is an individual right too. So that brings me to my next point of discussion. Should we have the right to enforce every individual to take a COVID-19 vaccination? And how will the private sector react to it as well? Since there's been many issues discussed on business rights also. Will they say if you don't take the vaccine, you can't work anymore? Will the private sector go ahead and say that if you haven't been vaccinated, you're not allowed to come into the facility, even if you're wearing a mask? Will the private sector employers who have employees demand that if you want to return to work, you have to take the vaccine? So are they following my first premise, which I've mentioned many times on the show, which is, do they actually have the authority to implement that as a law, even in their own business? Is it within their jurisdiction? And will it protect property as well as earnings of all individuals? Well, I would think that we have to look at it from not simply just the moral aspect of it, but the individual aspect of it as well. When we look at the idea of the founding of this nation, the way they looked at everybody is that everybody was an individual and everybody needs to be treated as an individual. And even the companies that are created by an individual are individual entities as well, and they should have the right to do certain things that are in their actual authority to implement as far as internal policy or what we can consider it as law within that organization. So do they have the actual authority to implement the law? They may have the authority because it depends upon the state too. Is it a right to work state? And is it a business that has unions and the unions may agree that you have to take the vaccination or it may disagree? So the unions have to make their own decision on that too, where they're going to stand, what they're going to support for their employees, for the employee safety as well. The other thing is it within their jurisdiction or is it a jurisdictional matter for the state government or the Department of Justice when it comes to forcing individuals to do things that they may raise religious freedoms on? Could it become an issue in the next few months is what we need to look at too. Russia supposedly has a vaccine and they said it's safe. So I don't believe that they've been distributing it outside of Russia. At least I have not heard of that yet, but they supposedly have a vaccine and say it works. So when the United States or other nations start to develop these vaccines, what's going to be their process of distribution and how is it going to infect individuals? Would you want to test a vaccine on a newborn child that hasn't had a large amount of trials as far as years of testing and side effects and all the different things that could occur? Are you going to infringe on individual rights for those who believe on religious grounds and simply just don't want to take the vaccine because of that? You know, are they putting children at risk if they're attending school and don't get vaccinated? Are they putting families at risk? Topics we need to discuss. What are we going to do as a nation and a community of people in this nation so that we are still safe, not trampling on individual rights, still protecting property of the individual, which the property would be those businesses, it's their property, their business, and as well as the earnings of the individuals of that property and the other individuals that work with individuals who may not choose to be vaccinated because it's going to affect their possible earnings. So these are topics we need to consider. So a lot of that is something we need to start considering in life in general and looking at having true discussion and true civil discourse on things. I would think that at the founding of the country, being that we're a republic, not a democracy, we are a nation of rules of laws, and those laws come down from different parts of society that we have all agreed upon. And I would say that even a portion of them are from the Bible, and a lot of aspects of the Constitution and our founding documents have biblical quotes or even biblical ideology along with other books that were written at the time. So at the founding, it's the idea of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence was simply because as a nation, or as not even a nation yet, as individual states, they all came together and they declared that they wanted to just be treated fairly in the government. At the time, that would have been England's government with the king. They didn't want to do that. So the Revolutionary War started. You would think that how can a small group of individuals or a untrained, regulated militia with very limited training defeat a well-trained army? And they did. And you can look up all the references of the battles that they lost and they won. And looking through history, I would have to say that it is divine providence that got us through that. And the first president of the United States, or would-be president, George Washington, he managed to do a great, great deal for this nation. And he even set boundaries that the current president now also adheres to. And it used to be a practice of character, because it was set by George Washington that all presidents would step down after two terms. But because one president decided, I want to go for a third, the general public kind of looked at, well, you're trampling on a characteristic that was set forth to just emulate one of the best individuals and founding fathers of this nation, George Washington, because he tried his best to do everything within the law and to be civil. And he's got a great deal of influence on how this nation's political system moved forward. So I would think that, as you can see in his character, you may want to read up on him. Many books have been written on him. And learn about the man. I mean, he's an inspirational individual. George Washington is one of those individuals that, you know, we can see through history through many eyes. But I would have to say you have to judge him not on how the historians simply want to portray him, but as he truly was through various writings and books. And I would look at that also as part of where I had talked before, individuals you can consider heroes. The one thing that I wanted to also mention on character, since that's what we've been discussing since the beginning of this start of the show, is that it is important. And it's something that you're always going to be developing. You're always going to want to be the best. So one way to do that is simply just to read things that are going to inspire you to action. But when you're reading these things, make sure you're also considering what's the true agenda of what I'm reading. And that's going to help you develop your character's mental and moral aspect. If you keep what's the agenda in mind, and if it's anything with politics or government, what's the actual authority to implement those laws and the changes of jurisdiction, and will it protect property, earnings, or all things of the individuals? So, little side note here from character. What I had wanted to discuss also was the aspect of entertainment. How entertainment and what we watch daily, even through social media, if that's a form of your entertainment, what are we learning? How is it influencing our character and our moral equation? Like I said before, I tell my daughters that when they're watching something, what are you learning from the things you watch? It doesn't matter if it's cartoons, doesn't matter if it's a TV show, it doesn't matter. What are we truly learning? And everything you can learn is something. Even they've criticized, well, what do you learn from Walking Dead? Well, Walking Dead has a lot of moral choices that you have to look at when you're looking at the characters that are in these predicaments. And as the show's progressed, you've seen how their character's been influenced by things that have changed how they've had to view and react to those life situations. Now, each of the characters also has been developed and begins to show their mental and moral character too. There's the individuals in the show that they would just take and not want to be part of a community. There's those in the show that were, I made this community, I'm going to make it stronger, and I'm going to use force and intimidation. You're going to do it this way, I'm the head, no other way. If you don't, then there's consequences that may result in even in your death. So, and then you can still look at possibly the religious aspect of it. How does that fit into your, if you're religious, your religious doctrine? How could you discuss that? Well, what do you think would happen in this situation? What would be the right thing to do? Why do you think he chose that? And why should you have chosen this? So, that's something I've always tried to get my daughters to understand. Things can be entertaining, but they also have a value and a life lesson. So, even the documentaries that come out, even the true life stories that come out, there was one life story that I watched on Amazon Prime, and they actually mentioned a book called written by James Allen, and it was called A Man Thinketh. And it's, I actually had to get a copy because I never had a copy, and I've been read that entire thing, and it's quite interesting. And James Allen also had a complete collection, to be honest, and he wrote As a Man Thinketh, All These Things Added, The Way of Peace, Above Life's Turmoils, and Eight Pillars of Prosperity. And it's very, very interesting. And one part of the book, it says the roof of prosperity then is supported by the following eight pillars, which are cemented in the foundation of moral consistency: energy, economy, integrity, system, sympathy, sincerity, impartiality, and self-reliance. And that's part of one of the books that he wrote, The Eight Pillars of Prosperity. So I would definitely, if you have not read the book, it's his complete collection. Take a glance at it. I think you might find it somewhat inspiring, and it will help you develop a way of thinking. And it's going to enlighten your life. So that's pretty much the end of my podcast today. I have many other topics I'll be going over in the next few days. So hopefully you'll join me again. And you have a good good day, a blessed day. May you go forth, be fruitful and prosperous. And may your needs be satisfied every day. And if you ever have any questions, just take a moment, relax, think it out. And for those of you who believe in the power of prayer, pray it out too. So, like I said, this show today was talking about the character and all that. So I hope you enjoyed it. You have a blessed day again, like I said. And remember, if you enjoyed the podcast, to give it 5 stars and favorite it on the social media platforms where you get the podcast. You can get podcasts for free on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, Google Podcast, and many other social media platforms. See you again. Have a blessed day.